You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome to another day. We are delighted to have all of you here with us on a Tuesday. It is January the 26th. It was a year ago today. Just hard to believe that Kobe Bryant went down out in Los Angeles. Many, many people still remembering and commemorating the great player. And it was 38 years ago, for those of you a little bit older, that around this moment, Paul Bryant passed away at Druitt City Hospital. An amazingly busy date, January 26, in terms of legendary icons. We will say hello to you, and we'll start getting to the headlines and your phone calls in just a moment. If you want to give us a ring, we'll be more than happy to take it at 855-242-7285. LSU has finally hired a defensive coordinator. We talked about this late in the program yesterday with Brooks Kamina. Durante Jones coming from the NFL. LSU has been looking for a replacement for Bo Pelini for some time, and it was not an easy fix. A couple of people were close. One went to Notre Dame. One couldn't deal with contractual issues with the Saints, but it looks like they now have their man. Ole Miss has hired a passing game coordinator. Sounds familiar if you're an LSU fan. And John David Baker, you can't go to Ole Miss without three names. This is what Joe Brady perfected. And, you know, even with Lane Kiffin, you still need a little bit of help. So a lot of changing of the guard this year in the SEC. Bill O'Brien, of course, the coordinator now at Alabama. He was the Texans head coach. Bobo moves around a little bit, heads to Auburn, as Derek Mason does. Kentucky has a coordinator from the NFL. LSU, Pete's, came from Carolina. Missouri, by the way, we talked to Steve Wilkes last night, and I don't know when I've been more impressed with a coach than him. If you missed the interview, man, see if you can find it on a podcast. South Carolina has new coordinators, of course, and so does Vanderbilt. Alabama versus the Pac-12. Well, that's not even a fair fight, is it? This is pretty amazing. This is the Pac-12 first team we're talking about here, not just going through the entire conference. Bama has just, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Five stars versus one, 16 four stars versus nine. The offensive line, everything. I don't even know why. I don't even know why we're really debating this. We're not. We'll talk a little bit later on with Steve Berkowitz. He's the investigative reporter for USA Today, and he has looked into the amount of money the NCAA has lost, and it is significant. I don't know why I had to drag that word out. It's quite significant, to say the least. Anyway, we will get into that in an hour. Meanwhile, Mel Kiper out with his draft. And to the surprise of absolutely no one, Trevor Lawrence is at the number one position, followed by, did I see that correctly? Devontae Smith. Remember all that debate 2 weeks ago that he should or shouldn't be? Ja'Marr Chase, who did not play this year. A number of other key players. Waddle, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, 15th overall to the Patriots. Yeah, will he be the one to replace an Auburn starter there? And the CFP always tries to make some news about things that should matter this time of the year. They have a new group of people on the committee. Same chairman, Gary Barta, but Mitch Barnhart, the highly respected Kentucky AD, moves on the committee. couple of other people as well. Offensive lineman from Nebraska, Castiglione, Strickland, Ronnie Lott, they're all gone. So we welcome you to the program. Again, we'll do a lot of remembering today of not only a year ago today, but 38 years ago. And we will take your phone calls a good bit. We have plenty of time for your calls at 855-242-7285. Let's get to the calls right now and begin with Jerry, who is first up. Hey, Jerry, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Now, here's something good to start your day with. I don't believe Nick Saban is the greatest football coach of all time, college coach.
Well, am I supposed to just stop and stand at attention, or are you going to explain that to me, please?
I was waiting for you to give me the go-ahead to explain it. Okay. Greatest college football coach. I know when you refer to it, you're just mostly, I guess you're talking about major college, because the greatest college football coach is hands down Larry Karras.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think what he's done is greater, even greater than Nick, who is great.
Well, listen, Jerry, I don't mean to be difficult here, but you're talking to an audience that's not all that familiar with the person you're talking about, so tell us all about him.
Okay, sure. Okay. Larry Karras coached for 27 years in Division III at Mount Union.
Okay.
Now, Nick's coached college football for 25 years. Nick Saban has lost, in those 25 years as head coach, Coach Saban has lost 21% of all the games he's ever coached.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Karras, in his 25 years, lost 7% of all the games he's ever coached. He was... Statistically, he was three times more difficult to beat than Nick Saban
mm-hmm.
on a football field.
Yeah, Jerry. My question to you is this: what if Nick Saban had been the head coach at Mountain Union? Do you think he would have ever lost?
Yes. Jerry,
I'm going to be a difficult professor here, because if I'm calling on you in class and this is the best you can do is give me a winning percentage, you're going to have to tell me more.
Okay, all right.
Because, I mean, I've heard of this guy and I've heard of Mountain Union, but I have no idea why he was so good.
He won 11 national NCAA.
Jerry, you're not telling me anything I can't look up on Wikipedia. You need to tell me why this guy was so good, okay?
Yeah, you can look it up. It's
No, Jerry, you don't understand. If you're going to call in and say that somebody is better than Nick Saban, you better tell me what this guy's all about. You better not read me his resume. So tell me, what is he all about? Why was he so good?
Okay. He's so good because he lost 7%.
By the way, Jerry, you have failed the class. I'm sorry. I gave you three opportunities to explain his greatness, and you went right back to the resume. That's not how you do it. I can tell you why Nick Saban is great, and I don't have to look at his resume. Thank you. You're going to summer school, I'm really sorry to say. Let's go to Hayden up next. Hayden, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Great to have you on.
So I was wondering what you anticipate to see from Georgia's offense this year with so many elite running backs coming back, and then a really improved receiving core, and then obviously JT Daniels at quarterback. What do you expect to see from them offensively?
I expect Georgia to make a run at not only the SEC championship, but at the national championship. What do you see?
I anticipate that this is the best team I think that we've had under Kirby. I think that if we don't do it this year, I'm worried for the next few years. I don't know if we'd be able to, but I really think with Alabama losing a lot of talent that it's a good opportunity for us to beat them this year and hopefully go to the playoffs.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. I am in agreement with you on most of that. Mike is up next in Macon. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'll be quick. I don't know what that Jerry guy is smoking, but he needs to change brands or whatever. I mean, it's just not working. I mean, that was like the lamest argument I ever heard in my life. So Anyway, we all know that there is no question anymore about who the greatest football coach of all time is. And that's coming from a dog fan. So anyway, I just had to get it out.
Yeah, I am fully aware of Mount Union's prowess, and I think it's fantastic. But we had Bill Walton on the other day. He told us why John Wooden was so great. This guy didn't tell us anything.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
No, all he did was give you a percentage of wins based on being on.
I mean, I will tell you, you put Nick Saban in that program, you think he's going to lose to anybody?
No, sir, I don't. Anyway, it was just it was actually a hilarious way to start.
I mean, I hate to be disrespectful to Mount Union, but I think the two of us could have an 850 percentage at Mount Union if you gave us enough time.
I agree with you, Paul. There's no doubt. Hey, it's going to be a great show today. Thanks for all you do for us, okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much. We will take a break here on this Tuesday. We're off to a rocky start, but we are going to recover. A number of guests will be dropping by, as we showed you a few minutes ago. And we are coming right back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back to the program, and it's great to have all of you here. And more phone calls at 855-242-7285. And today's guests will begin in just a short period of time. We'll talk to Steve Berkowitz from USA Today, Connor O'Gara, Adam Rittenberg, and Tom Hart, previewing tonight's SEC action. Let's go to Greg, who is in Tennessee. Hey, Greg, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Don't be so rude to your guest, old buddy.
What was that, Greg?
I said, don't be so rude to your guest to call in.
Well, I wasn't intending to be rude. I was just simply, he made a pretty profound statement that someone other than Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time, and I simply wanted to know why he felt that way.
Yeah, I know, but I'd like to listen to see what he said. You wouldn't give him a chance to talk. And if a fella goes to all the trouble to call in, I mean, try to listen to him a little bit.
Well, you're probably right, Greg. Next time he calls, I'll sit back and let him talk. How about, would that be fair?
Well, I think if a fella goes to all that trouble to call you, that you're laid down a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you. Tim is up next in Pittsburgh. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Paul. I'm just calling. I'm a bear man. I think Saban is a great coach, but Bear, he come up through different times. Everything's different times.
Right.
So you could say he's the greatest today, but let's throw in a little bit of yesterday. And you had a lot of great coaches. You'll never see a 20-year coach now. You know, like the Bear and, you know, the old Texas coach. And
well, I think it is one of those situations, Tim, where you have to look at it from your own prism. And
right.
I was not suggesting that the gentleman from Mount Union was anything but a great coach. To win 93% of your games would indicate you are a great coach. But, you know, I think it's a fair conversation to argue Paul Brian versus Nick Saban, or throw someone else in there if you want. That's fine with me. But
yeah, it's different times.
Sure.
Different generations.
I mean, it would be like, you know, trying to debate a quarterback in the 50s or 60s or 70s versus Tom Brady.
Right.
They play in different eras, although I don't think it's really debatable. Yeah, the Saban debate, I've had it a million times. It's not so much the era; it's really the compressed amount of time that Nick Saban has won these championships.
That's right. Also, you're right. That's all, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you. You ever had one of those days when you are sorry you got out of bed? Eddie is up next in Florida. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Paul Rodan Todd.
You got it.
Hey, man, sorry about these last five or six callers that let us call you, Paul. I feel the same way you do. Hey, but, these guys prove my point, Paul. If you want to know why Tom Brady is still playing and why Nick Saban is still coaching, it's because of guys like that. And that's what they have to deal with, guys telling them that they're not the greatest. All right? So if we're gonna measure people, if we're gonna measure greatness by championships and rings, I think Tom Brady and Nick Saban are saying, I'm gonna win as many championships as I can and as many rings as I can, so this question won't be debatable. And I think that's why they still play the game. And I don't blame them. You know, if you're competitive like that, because you know, you don't get a chance to start back over. You know what I'm saying? Once it's done, it's done. So I love how Nick Saban is doing it, and I love how Tom Brady is doing it, because I wouldn't want the conversation to start and end with me. So that's why I think those guys are still coaching and playing. Hey, Paul, I got another thing, man. Hey, these Georgia fans, man, I just feel sorry for them, Paul. Every freaking year, Paul, they call and ask you how you think we're going to be this year. I mean, they worried about Bama. We're losing so much. I don't even know if they pay attention to recruiting, Paul. Paul, we losing much, but we are gaining more. Nick Saban is crazy, Paul. Nick Saban is recruiting out of his mind right now. I hope Nick Saban's going to get two more championships just off of 20 class and this 21 class that he's bringing in. You mark my words. And Georgia, you still ain't going to be in it next year. Bama's going to be in it. I already checked the schedule out. Roll damn tide.
Jay is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon, Jay.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
I just want to get in on a piece of the action of this discussion. I've listened to your first caller, and he likes the guy, and I think it was based on his perspective. I live in this current generation, and Nick Saban is, for this dispensation and time, based on the superlative, is considered the greatest of all time for here and the now. But on this Parthenon or the Mount Rushmore of great college football coaches, no one mentioned a gentleman who I wrote to in my sophomore year in high school, and that is the great Eddie Robinson.
Absolutely.
The reason why I would say, and I'm going to give you some facts and some subjective information. Here's my reason. Number one, he's one of the winningest coaches in college football history. Number two, he did it at one school. Number three, he did it in the most obscure means when you read his story. He did it when HBCU football was not in its well-known or well-marketed zenith. He was able to recruit talent. He had to coach against the likes of John Merritt at Tennessee State, the great Jay Gaither at FAMU, the Marino Kasem at Southern and at Alcorn State. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. HBCU football have a story to tell, too.
Jay, if I could jump in here for 1 second, and my first job before I covered Coach Bryant was in Louisiana, and I covered, I think, three or four games with Grambling, including spending the entire weekend with Coach Rob, riding with mm-hmm. him on the bus. He invited me to spend the weekend as they went to Itabena for a game against Mississippi Valley. And I will tell you,
Itabena, Mississippi.
It was one of the greatest moments and memories of my entire life, sitting with him over a period of about 8 hours or 6 hours, whatever it was, driving from Ruston or Grambling, Louisiana, to Itabena.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed in touch with him over the years, including talking to him not that long before he passed away. I agree with you. I don't think you can dismiss him as the greatest coach just without giving it some thought, because he had the impact he had not only on his school but other schools and just millions of people is profound.
Right, and I'm not dismissing the gentleman at the Division III level, the coach at Mount Union. I've read about him. In fact, he won more football games than Coach Robinson. The difference here is this: Division III is at a much lower division. In fact, it's the lowest division in the NCAA spectrum, whereas Division One, you're well known. You have a bigger microscope. You have a bigger spotlight. You know, the whole world knows you, as opposed to you're the coach of a small school tucked away in your Division Three school. And I'm not here again. I'm not taking anything away from Coach. I respect the world of coaches. I even coached myself in high school and whatnot. And it's a very fulfilling and yet time-consuming activity and profession. It's just that when we began to do superlatives, right now Nick Saban is the best. Right now, we don't know what's going to happen 10 to 15 to 20 years later. He still may stand up to the test, and I think he will stand up to the test. And we should place Nick Saban on the Mount Rushmore of great coaches. But let us not. We can't leave out Eddie Robinson or Willie Jeffries. Willie Jeffries was, I consider, the last of the great HBCU coaches in that era.
Well, listen, I'm glad you said that, Jay, because I can back that up with my own experience. Hey, you be well. You take care of yourself. It's a good conversation. And the Mount Union coach is very well known. He did it over 45 or 6 years. He's considered a legendary coach. But people didn't like my style. I'm sorry, but I asked the man just to explain. That's all. I didn't want him to, give me a PhD dissertation. I just wanted to know more about the coach, because I really don't know very much about him other than, what I heard the day he stepped down. Quick break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back, and we are really happy to have you here. Back, I never thought me having some fun with one of the first callers this afternoon was going to create a controversy, but he was talking about Larry Caharez, the former Mount Union coach who stepped down a couple of years ago. He did win 11 Division III titles there. So I thought, instead of me giving an opinion, which is, I'm sure, biased, I would go to a source of 150 former coaches and broadcasters. As many of you remember, ESPN just celebrated the 150th anniversary of college football. It lasted all year long. And as part of that, they did a coaching list of the top coaches of all time. And Larry Caharez ranked number 28 on that list, which is significant. That's ahead of people like John Heisman and Bob Stoops, right behind Steve Spurrier. So there's nothing wrong with that. He's obviously a very good coach. But in a poll by his peers, he finished 27th. And this is, I do remember when this went out. This was a blue ribbon poll of 150 media members, administrators, former players, and coaches. So the gentleman who dismissed Nick Saban.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
To promote his coach, came in number 27. The number one coach on this list, Paul Bryant, who, as I mentioned at the top of the show, passed away 38 years ago today. Number two, Nick Saban. Three, Knute Rockne. Four, Tom Osborne. Five, Eddie Robinson. We talked about him a minute ago. Bud Wilkinson, number six. Paterno, seventh. Bobby Bowden, number eight. Woody Hayes, nine. And Frank Leahy, number 10. It's an incredibly interesting list, and one day maybe we will spend some more time on it. But I just wanted to clarify that because I'm sure I was short-tempered when somebody had the nerve to say that Nick Saban wasn't the best coach of all time. Let's get back to the calls. And Dustin is up next. Hey, Dustin, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, man, I want to say something about that one caller that just called in and said something about Nick Saban being below this guy. Some people that call in like that, they have to be drunk on their own stupidity to say something like that, because we all know that that's an absurd statement, that Nick Saban is the best coach. Even me being a Tennessee fan, I have to admit that. But just some people are just stupid on their own.
Let me say this. That. I understand if you're a fan of Mount Union, you're proud of this guy. He won 11 championships. He had an amazing winning percentage. But, you know, I thought it would be better to go ahead and let a blue ribbon panel of experts settle the conversation, because I've debated Bryant versus Saban for at least 3 or 4 years. And you know, this committee decided that Coach Bryant finished ahead of Nick Saban, but you know, it's still 1-2, no matter how you look at it.
Paul, can I ask you about Tennessee?
Sure.
On what's the update on the coaching search while I got you online?
You bet.
Do you have any updates on who it could possibly be and when they would reveal it?
When they are going to reveal it, I think will be very soon. Do I have any idea this afternoon? Not yet. Maybe as we get a little bit deeper into the show, but I can tell you most assuredly that Danny White is out there right now interviewing candidates, and I believe he will come to a pretty quick conclusion. But we hope to update the audience a little bit later on that. Kevin is up next in Louisiana. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Kevin, we are doing great. Thank you.
Oh, man, I'm calling up. I put Nick Saban as one of the best coaches out here now, because I'm thinking maybe because of the recruiting. You got to think about it. 38 to 40 years ago, recruiting was very much different. You know, it's he knows how to recruit. He gets a lot of talent out of the South. And you got to think about it. SEC is one of the best conferences there is. I don't think you can get no better than the SEC for his coaching. And standing on Eddie Robinson, that's when you go to look at the SWAC and the SEC, and you think about the televised. You get more televised. Everybody's knowing Nick Saban. They wouldn't know the Eddie Robinson. But Eddie Robinson still goes down as one of the top 10 coaches out of here, period.
Kevin, he is. And I think when you get to that level of 2, 3, 4, 5, it really depends on your familiarity. I think from a impact standpoint, Eddie Robinson may have had more impact than any other coach in history. He coached under extraordinarily difficult circumstances. And I told that story a minute ago because I saw it firsthand. I lived it, spending, the day with him at Grambling, spending the next 2 days on the road on a bus. They didn't play by the same rules that even that Coach Bryant was at the same time. And that very same year I was traveling with Coach Robinson, Alabama was winning the national championship. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's continue with more. It's an interesting conversation. And Larry is up next. Larry, thanks, and good afternoon. Larry, you there? How about Brad in Virginia? Brad, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Great, Paul. I'm a first-time caller. Love your show. Listen to it a lot, Paul. Listen, I'm a Vol fan, Paul. I live about 3 hours from Knoxville. And, it's been a tough decade for Vol fans. And I'm a former high school coach, now a principal. So I have a little bit of understanding about making sure we select that right person that has the good leadership qualities and everything we need in a head coach. And when I look at that, we want to have someone who has the knowledge and that can motivate. But we need somebody in Knoxville right now that's going to be an immediate big impact for our program because of the hole we have. Now, a couple people you think out there right now, I'm thinking, and it's someone I've not heard a lot, and you may have discussed this on your show already. If so, I've not heard it. But what about Lane Kiffin, Paul?
I think it's an interesting selection, Brad, but my gut feeling is no, and I just think that it would be mostly positive, but I think there's still a couple of stray hairs of negativity that would be attached to him.
Yeah, and I knew as long as Coach Fulmer was there, it was probably going to be a definite no. But, as we got the new AD, I thought that may have been a possibility, but I knew there was probably going to be negativity with it. But, I just thought that's one person that, where he goes, there's going to be a big impact, and immediately you're going to have, start seeing success in your programs. He's done that everywhere he's went. But, I kind of think, Paul, he kind of started this mess when he left. It'd be nice for him
yeah,
to come back.
I think that's the problem. And, I think had Lane Kiffin never been to Tennessee, he would be top of mind. But I still think it's hard to go back to the scene of the crime. And you're right. He bailed out 11 years ago, and that started the spiral that continues to this very hour. We will take a break. More to come. We'll continue with your phone calls. It's been quite an interesting 45 minutes of calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here and more phone calls the rest of the way. We will get to our guests in a minute. I mentioned at the very top of the show that it is 1 year ago today that Kobe Bryant died, and ironically 38 years ago today that Paul Bryant died. And I think I can't remember how many years in a row I've looked down at my board and seen this name on here, because we are forever linked on this memorable day. Russ Wood played at Alabama until 1982, and Russ, here we are again. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, good to hear talk to you as well. 38 years ago, sitting in the north end zones at Legion Field, trying to be a Birmingham Stallion, and like you said, it was just coincidence. There was a lot, 10 or 12 Alabama guys there, and you just happened to be talking to me when that moment happened.
Yeah, for those who have not heard this story, I was covering the Birmingham Stallions, and Russ was part of a group being looked at by the team, and it was a gray Wednesday, and I think it was the PR guy, Russ, who came running out and said and screamed that he had heard that Coach Bryant had died. And in mid-sentence, I mean, everybody started scattering, and I mean, you were trying to figure out what was going on, and I did what any reporter would have done, and I don't want any of my young friends to laugh, but I ran outside the corridor. And there was a payphone, and I had to grab whatever
payphone,
10 cents, 50, 20 cents, I don't remember what it was, a quarter, and and called the newspaper downtown and said, is it true? And they said, yes, and get down here immediately. So I'm not sure I ever said goodbye to you.
I don't think we were worried about that, because there's a bunch of us went out to the hallway with you when you went to that payphone.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, because we didn't know either. There was no cell phones, no way we could call anybody. And you said, I'm sorry, I got to go call the office. And I'm trying to remember some of my teammates. Joe Beasley was one. I think Scott Holman. There was a handful of us there. And you were interviewing a lot of us. I just happened to be the one next. And we were kind of in that breezeway when you went out for the payphone. And I think somebody asked you, and you said, yes, it is true. And that's when we all just went in shock. You know, we were in the shock mode.
Yeah, because somebody running out, it's interesting, Russ, that morning it had been reported in the media that that Coach Bryant had been taken to Druid City because he was having some chest pains. But the report overnight was that he was okay. That he was doing well, and he may not be in the hospital much longer. And I, in fact, a friend of mine, and you know Jerry Duncan, who played at Alabama before you. Jerry later told me that he was on the phone with Coach Bryant that morning. Jerry was in the investment business and still is, and he had sold Coach Bryant, I believe it was a $100,000 bond, because Coach played the market, as you can remember. And he bought it that morning, and then 2 hours later, he was gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think the story I read later is the nurses. He was cutting up with the doctor, the one that was taking care of him. It was his friend. The nurses said he was very joyful, very, charismatic and talking, and just really nice. And then, an hour later, they were trying to do CPR, and I read that story. But,
yeah,
it was one of those days,
It's funny. It's not funny, Russ, but I really I didn't remember you being there after the person came out. And it became, everyone, and that began 3 days of mourning, Wednesday and then Thursday at there was a memorial at Coleman Coliseum, then Friday, a day that there's not an Alabamian alive that will forget that morning into early afternoon when that procession left Tuscaloosa for Elmwood Cemetery.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, being on that 82 team, the last team, we were the honorary pallbearers. And, they had like three churches doing the service in Tuscaloosa, and the main church, we got to sit, right there behind the family. And, and I remember looking back behind me, a couple of rows there were Woody Hayes and
everybody,
Jim Blecker, and all these, the really sad thing, him and Billy Graham were really good friends, and Billy, what they said, was supposed to do the service, but he was sick.
Oh, I never heard that.
Or something and couldn't make it.
I didn't. Russ, listen,
we had heard.
I'm glad you told me. We have to go to the break, but thank you so much. I'm going to check on that because I know Reverend Graham's nephew very well. We'll take a break. We'll talk more about that. There are stories that have lasted a lifetime about that day and that week. We'll be right back.